I want to begin by leaving the analogy before us in an effort to make the point that what we're talking about in obtaining strong marriages is something that takes a lot of work. Relationships are not easy. True relationships are not easy. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship we're talking about. They don't just happen. Great relationships don't just happen. And so as badly as I would love to be able to just tear that guitar up, unless I spend the time on that guitar and emphasize it in my life the way I do my farm, it's just not going to happen. So how important is it? All right, we need to lighten things a little bit. So communication is obviously important. And our communication skills have changed a little these days. And apparently she did not get the email. I saw these quotes and they're enjoyable. A woman marries a man expecting he will change, but he doesn't. A man marries a woman expecting that she won't change, and she does. I like this one. If a man is in the forest and there isn't a woman around, is he still wrong? Any man should forget his mistakes. There's no reason for two people to have to remember the same thing. I'm about through. A husband said to his wife, "No, I don't hate your relatives. In fact, I like your mother-in-law better than I like mine." There's always a two-second delay. It's just the way that one works. You know, it's kind of like, All right, here's where we're going. This morning we want to look at five components of a strong marriage, and then this afternoon at 5 we'll look at five more. So there's a 10-point checklist that I've put together for strong marriages, and I hope they're helpful to you. In successful marriages, the marriage relationship comes first, is number one, only behind a relationship with God. Now, what happens is what I described earlier, where our relationship grew stagnant. It wasn't intentional. It was just life and everything life demands sucked our relationship away from us. You know, we had so many things screaming loudly, and we did not allow our relationship to scream as loudly as all these other things. And so it just kind of sucked our relationship away from us. Well, what are the danger areas? First of all, career. Especially for young to middle-aged adults. We're working so hard to get ahead. We're working so hard to keep up. We're working so hard to progress in our careers. That if we're not careful, we work so hard at moving up and doing well and succeeding, and those things are important. And they involve good, strong family values even, providing for our families, to the point that we allow those to take the place of our emphasis to the relationship. And this one is just one of the loudest to me. And I'm not talking about children screaming. But I'm talking about the ball games. I'm talking about the school activities. I'm talking about the extracurricular activities. I'm talking even about becoming closer to our children than we are to our spouses. And oh, how many times that happens. How many times parents would rather spend time with their children than with their spouses. Think about that. And so because of that, we're giving and giving and providing and providing and wanting to watch them and wanting to do this and wanting their favor to the point that we allow our children sometimes, oftentimes, to just pull our relationship and the importance of our marriage relationship away from us. Now, what about hobbies? You know, it was not, I don't want to get too personal, but it was not until several years later that Tina told me that years ago, when we lived in Mobile and we were driving 140 miles up the interstate, I was driving 140 miles up I-65 to hunt every Saturday from October the 15th until January 31st, that really bothered her. Well, she didn't ever act like she was bothered. You know, she was teaching at Mobile Christian. On Friday afternoon, she'd come home and she'd be tired and she'd be worn out. So we'd leave to go to the hunting property on Friday afternoon. You're thinking, I didn't realize he was such a jerk, right? But the truth of the matter is that became so important to me. And we just lived for those hunting weekends. And, you know, what I didn't take the time to do is to ask, how much is this bothering you? Or how lonesome are you? Is this an issue? And she didn't take the time to come to me and say, hey, I need you to know how I feel about this. But so many times we'll find time for our hobbies and we'll not find time for our spouses and our relationships. These are some danger areas. It is so very sad that often these things, by one's own admission, are more important or desirable than one's own marriage. Now, I want to tell you, it's not my purpose right now to say, if one of these is more important and you're giving emphasis to one of these more than your marriage relationship, you're a terrible, terrible person. What I really want to say is, if that's happening, you're probably more normal than we might think when we really look close at it. Because in one way or another, this is what I see all the time. And to me, it is the couple who are the exception. And that's what we want to be. But it's the couple who are the exception that get past this. Number two, in successful marriages, forgiveness, real true forgiveness, is just a necessity. Why? Because we all make mistakes. You know, the fact that we've worked with so many couples and the fact that I've seen so many things and talked through so many different situations doesn't mean that I've got it all figured out and I don't make mistakes. That's just not the case. And part of our relationship, being a good relationship, involves being willing to say, I forgive you. I'm okay with that. I understand. And there's so many things involved in this, being willing to realize that we do make mistakes on a daily basis, some more serious than others. Sometimes serious, very difficult mistakes need to be forgiven in order to have a great relationship. And one of the things I'm talking about here is when we have disloyalty. Sometimes relationships get in the way, involve our marriages. And what happens? Well, in working with a lot of couples the last few years who've gone through this, what we continue to see is those couples who are willing to overcome that relationship and truly overcome it have better relationships than those, in many cases, who've never gone through it. Now, I want to tell you, that's not the easy way. God's way is far better. Having the good relationship without the serious mistakes is a far easier and far better road to take. But my point is, forgiveness, true forgiveness, where we don't hang over the other person's head, their flaws and their mistakes, makes for a great marriage. And the contrast to this is true, and I've already referred to it, but a lack of forgiveness is so damaging and hurtful, especially when it's a situation where every time something happens, he brings it up, or she brings it up. And it doesn't have to be a serious flaw. It's just that one little thing that always irritates me. And if you do something that irritates me, then I'm going to hang that over your head. And my point here is, that's not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. And sometimes I'll even say understanding true forgiveness is not easy. For example, when the hurt is there, when the damage is done and the hurt is there, I've had many people ask me, what exactly is forgiveness? Because what they're wrestling with is, how do you get past it when it still hurts so much? And the answer that I usually give is, you just act like it didn't happen. You act like it didn't happen. Forgiveness is so important. Number three, and I want to spend just a little bit of time on this, and I'll try to watch and not go over. In successful marriages, husbands and wives each focus more on fulfilling needs than having needs fulfilled. Now, I want you to notice some ironies, a couple of ironies here. This is really interesting. It is true that you get the right person by being the right person. You know, that cliche, marriage is more about being the right person than finding the right person. Well, the older I get, the more I realize it's more than a cliche. And the second part of this, which really is the same, is while your spouse doesn't want to be controlled, you really can make him or her what you want them to be by being for them what they want you to be. Now, another way of saying this is using that C word. And if you have had issues in your marriage, you know the C word, the control word. Another way of saying this is to say you really can control him or her by being the right person. And a better way of saying that is you can far more likely get them to be for you what you want them to be by being for them what they need you to be. Now, I've just basically said the same thing two or three different times, and sometimes in a different way, sometimes not. But I want to make this point. Now, I want to talk about this one. And this is something that we just decided several years ago that we wanted to do. And it's worked. And we've used this over and over again with couples who are really struggling. It's interesting to me how difficult it is for people to express their needs. Now, this is one of those where typically the female goes, "Oh, I love that idea." And you start elbowing the male. And the male goes, "Oh, that's just flaky. You know, you're not going to get me to be that squirrely." And if you can get past it, it's amazing what it does. Here's what it is. Tina and I always have our needs list. And early on when we started doing it, we were working on some things, and we did every week. And every Sunday night, we would, before we went to bed, we would pull out our needs list, and we would redo them. And I would tell her the five things that I most needed from her. And I'd write them down, and I'd read them to her. And if she didn't understand, I would explain. And sometimes my needs list would become large narratives or discourses. And hers were usually brief and to the point. And I know that's backwards. The male is the one that's supposed to be a few words, but in our case, that's not always the case. But I would give her my fives, the things I most needed from her, and she would give me hers. Now, this is where you're going to think we're a little bit strange, but that's all right. And also, on Sunday night of that week, we would grade each other on a scale of 1 to 5 with how well we had done. Now, if you were in institutional research in university where you had to assess and measure everything, you might tend to be a little more like that than most normal people, and granted, that's kind of the way we think. But the truth of the matter is, it was our quirky little mechanism to enable us to communicate what we needed from each other and how well we were doing, in fulfilling those needs. And you see, there's so many things that this opens up, because so many times I think I knew her needs, or I would think I knew her needs, when I really didn't. You know, so many times they resulted in, I need her to be, and therefore I'm going to work on, or this is what I think she needs from me, and therefore that's what I'm going to give her. And if you don't believe me, try it. In fact, a really good exercise would be to sit down and say, these are the five things she most needs from me, and then get her to write her five most greatest needs and see if they match. That'd be interesting. And if we got threes or twos on something, We didn't do so well. Now let me tell you that when you're dealing with a marriage that's not real strong, this is all the more difficult. Oh, I'm thinking of one particular couple, and Tina will know exactly who I'm talking about. When we first started trying to get them to express their needs to one another and talk about them and work on them, man, they didn't have a clue. And we just finally had to write their needs for them just to teach them how to express to one another what they needed from each other. And the truth of the matter is, they really didn't even know themselves. The relationship was so out of whack that they really didn't understand what they needed from each other. And let me give you some examples. Always on our needs list, and I won't tell you all of them, but always on our needs list is spiritual help. Because one of the things each of us needs from one another is encouragement that is spiritual in nature. And one of the dangers here, especially when spirituality is not on a similar level, is when in a marriage relationship, there's one who's a strong spiritual leader and the other one who's pulled along. Oh, how difficult this is in marriage relationship. In fact, I probably would even say most relationships within the church have different levels, to the point that there seem to be one spiritual leader who is always the one who's pushing harder or pulling harder. Always the one who's making the do-we-go-to-church decision. The one who at night reminds the other it's time to say the prayer. The one who just... And what happens is there just seems to be such a burden on that person. And so many times that person would say, oh, how I would love to not have to be the one to always push going to church, push praying, push spirituality things. Now think about it. Talk about it. If you have that situation in your marriage, if you've got a spouse who's a spiritual leader, you need to realize that that's going on. That truly is going on. Men usually have on their needs list physical things. That's something that needs to be talked about. It's not unusual for women to have needs on their needs list having to do with help cleaning the house. You know, on our current needs list that we did, I guess, a couple of weeks ago now, Tina put on her needs list that she needed me to exercise. And her need for me to exercise is not because she wants me to be some big hunk looking of a guy, which I'm sure, you know, if you ask her, she'd say that wouldn't be bad either. But her explanation is she wants me to be around for a long time. Well, I'll also tell you that as we grade our needs list tonight, I'm probably going to get about a zero on that one. Because the truth of the matter is, since she wrote that, I hadn't put my running shoes on. And farm work, for some reason, doesn't count, according to her. I'd get a 5 for that one. Needs list. I'm trying to think, help you walk through these and think about exactly what you would put on your needs list. Fight the urge to let the newness wear off. And what I mean by that is, try it. Sit down tonight and talk about what you need from the other and put it down. And guys, get past the real men don't do this thing. Because it's amazing how next Sunday night or a week from now when you go to grade one another, when you've really bought into this, the other person takes great pride in fulfilling your needs, because you're taking great pride in fulfilling their needs. It's God's way. And fighting the urge to let the newness wear off is important, because after a while, it's easy to let it go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And what happens, if nothing else, is when you feel your relationship becoming not nearly as strong and not nearly as fulfilling, what happens is, in that situation, it's a great time to say, I think we need to do our needs list. Because it works. It just works. It allows and provides the focus on, am I for her what she needs me to be? All right, let's move on. Number four. In successful marriages, husbands and wives truly respect each other. In successful marriages, husbands and wives truly respect one another. Do our actions and words result in building up or tearing down? Now, I'm a big believer in we are our own personality types. Call it psychology or call it just observation. But, you know, by nature, we have tendencies that we have to fight. And by our natures, some of us are far more perfectionist. Some of us are far more critical. Some of us tend to have lower self-esteem. And therefore, we build ourselves up by cutting other people down. Some of us are more detail-oriented. And some of us are, well, if you get close, like in horseshoes, that's good enough. All of these things come into play. And by nature, some of us just tend to be more critical and negative than others. And if we're not careful, we slip into being people who disrespect our spouse or our spouses because our nature just kind of prods us to do that. And what do those children see? Those children see a dad who's always tearing mom down. Instead of building mom up, Johnny may decide it's also his place to cut mom down because that's what dad does. All this happens, and it's something that we need to take a close look at. And I want to suggest that for some reason, this is especially a problem for men. I think part of this is cultural. Because we do still live in a society in which men are far more likely to progress in their careers than the females. Not always the case, obviously. But our society pushes men to be the strong one, the provider, the whatever. And I'm not even trying to talk about the equal rights and the role of the man, the role of the woman here. I'm just saying, look around. And it just does seem to me, from situations we've dealt with, to be the case where it is far easier for the men to disrespect the husbands, to disrespect the wives, just out of being critical by their very nature. There is this matter of what happens when mom stays home to raise the children. And I wish I had more time to talk about this, but husbands, that's one of the times when your work becomes so important. Because the truth of the matter is there is absolutely nothing more important than what mom does in nurturing that child. And whether mom chooses to stay home from work or not, it still is the case that mom typically, almost always, is more tied down with that young child or those young children than dad is. And the self-esteem of mom always goes because her friends are career-oriented. The people that she talks with, who maybe she doesn't talk with much anymore, are out there doing important things, and I'm stuck at home changing diapers. It's true, isn't it? You know, and I can just see some of you moms out there just doing this. That's the way it is. And when husbands are not careful to constantly remind her of how important that is and how worthwhile that is, and there's nothing better in the world than to raise this child and love that child, and I've got a role in that too, but for this point's purpose, especially to build up as opposed to tearing down, oh boy, it just works wonders. It's huge. Strong relationships involve truly respecting one another. And failing to respect one another is often where inappropriate relationships begin. Oh, how many times have I seen and heard that, well, he's not paying attention to me, or he's not appreciating me, or he's not respecting me, or she's not. And when I go to work, I get that attention from somebody. The absolute best thing you can do to push your spouse to towards somebody else is to disrespect them, is to fail to appreciate them, is to fail to give them attention. Because it's so easy for others to do that. And those relationships, how out of whack reality becomes. You know, the newness, the excitement, the tingly feeling. You see, that's not true love. That's not mature love. That's not deep love. But for someone who's in a relationship where they're not getting the support and the help that they need, all of a sudden, that tingly feeling and that little bit of flirting and that little bit of excitement becomes pretty desirable. And if he tears me down and he builds me up, who am I going to want to be around more? Something to think about. Beautiful marriages clearly show mutual admiration. Mutual admiration. Number four, and I'll do these quickly. In successful marriages, let me move on to the last one. Successful marriages, number five, have trust and honesty. We talked about this a little bit in the first lesson. Total trust and honesty. One reason why the relationship with God needs to come first. And for many people, a lack of honesty has just become a habit. It's that situation where being accurate and being honest always is just not enough of a priority, where it's just easy to say things like, well, I'll be there at 9 o'clock and not really mean it. Or things like, well, if I need to bend or twist a situation to kind of make it look one way when it's another, that's all right, that's not that big a deal. It's so easy to become a habit where if I need to be dishonest and lie to cover something, after a while it just doesn't hurt anymore to do that. Being honest is everything in a marriage relationship. It's everything. Being able to trust and being able to have honesty is so important. And what an added burden it is when you have to constantly filter and analyze words to determine truth or even accuracy. Now, there's not a one of us here today that cannot think of someone that we know that's like this. There's somebody at work, there's somebody at school, there's somebody down the road, there's some family member who every time they need something, or every time you ask them a question, or every time you get an answer or a piece of information from them, you question whether or not they're being truthful. Whether or not they're putting spin on what they're telling you. How to interpret what they're saying to get to the real truth, because they're probably not giving it to you exactly the way it is. I want to tell you, there are a lot of marriage relationships that involve this. How can I ask this? How can I spin this? How can I answer this based on what I need or what I want? Accuracy and honesty is so very important. And the trust thing again. Don't lose it. Except for life itself, it is the most difficult thing to get back once lost. Oh, how valuable trust is. Alright, this is what we've looked at today, and we'll look at five more tonight. In successful marriages, the marriage relationship comes first, only behind a relationship with God. In successful marriages, forgiveness, real true forgiveness, is practiced. In successful marriages, husbands and wives each focus more on fulfilling needs than having needs fulfilled. In successful marriages, husbands and wives truly respect one another. And number five, I have to turn around. Successful marriages have a total trust and honesty. Cut it off on my screen. Well, look at these. And before we have our prayer and close, the thing I want to tell you is this. In a one-day period of emphasis like this, it's easy to focus on these things, and it's easy to think I need to work on them and let life pull them away from you. I want to encourage you to write these down, and I'll have them again tonight. on screen. Write them down. Talk about them. Think about them. You know, today we're thinking hard about this kind of stuff, and we've got the bills out of the way, and we got work out of the way, and we've got the ball games and the kids and all this stuff out of the way. And right now it's easy for this to be first and forefront. But about Tuesday and Wednesday, when all those other things are screaming, it's going to be awful easy to allow these things to die down again. Figure out a way to keep them in front. Talk about them. Learn to play the guitar by working hard at it. Because anybody can wish. Well, let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity for us to study the pattern of marriage which You gave to us. Help us to work hard to do it well, to enjoy the fulfillment which You intended. We ask for wisdom, and we would ask that as a part of that, You place these thoughts into our minds and into our lives, into our practices, that our marriages will grow stronger, that we will be committed to them, that we will understand and appreciate Your plan. Thank You most for Your Son, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.